Thank you for joining me today, and it's good to be together midweek. Before we turn to the Bible, let me remind those of you who've been with us what we're doing. If you're new to the broadcast and podcast, welcome. I am your host, Mark Swallow, and this is God Is. Here, every weekday at this time, we learn who God is from within the pages of His Word to our minds and hearts, the Bible. This week, we've come to Revelation chapter 1, where we have been talking about 10 facts about Jesus Christ. Right now, we're on fact number 8, Jesus is coming with the clouds, and we're spending a little time with this one. This is the promise that Jesus Christ will one day return to the earth, where He will commence His 1,000-year reign. Revelation 1 verse 7 begins by describing the second coming of Christ. So, you will want to read Revelation 1 at your earliest convenience and circle the phrase, "Behold, He is coming with the clouds," in verse 7. As I speak with you about His second coming, I'm following an outline, and we're almost through it. It is as follows. First, I spoke with you about why the second coming of Christ matters to you. I set the second coming in the context of your life. Second, I demonstrated to you that the second coming of Christ is a major theme of Scripture. The entire Bible emphasizes that Jesus will return to the earth. He came the first time, and He is coming again. Then yesterday, I took the first part of this phrase, "He is coming," and proved to you that Jesus Himself predicted His own return. We looked at several scriptures in the Gospels. So we have already covered quite a bit in just a couple of days at the front end of this week. And now as we come into the middle of the week, today, we'll see what Christ's first coming was. It's a mission of grace to take away the sins of those who accept Christ. But His second coming is a mission of judgment to condemn those who reject Christ. More on that in a moment. And then tomorrow, I'll tell you that Christ's humiliation must result in His exaltation. Christ's humiliation must result in His exaltation. Friday, we'll consider what Jesus coming with the clouds means. What is the meaning of clouds in the Word of God? That's coming up here on God Is. So I hope that you have been with us and will continue to be with us. We do not have long together each day, so we want to redeem the time as God gives us His grace to do so. And so now, with the outline restated, let's dig in at Revelation 1 verse 7 and ask about the purpose for which Christ comes again. As I have said, Christ's first coming was a mission of grace to take away the sins of those who accept Christ. But His second coming is a mission of judgment to condemn those who reject Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. To get at this and see it in the Bible, I want you to listen to only some of the words of Jesus in a parable that He tells in the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 19. If you have your Bible there, turn with me to the 19th chapter of Luke, and we will begin at verse 11. Unfortunately, we do not have enough time this week to really dig into this whole incredible parable. I am taking only a very small portion of it so that I can apply this to the reality of Christ's second coming, but there are many lessons herein. And so here now I begin the reading in Luke 19, verse 11. While they were listening to these things, Jesus went on to tell a parable because He was near Jerusalem, and they supposed that the kingdom of God was going to appear immediately. Let's pause here. Who are they? They are Jesus' disciples, and the disciples were listening to these things. And these things are what Jesus has already been teaching them. Jesus then launches into the following parable. A parable is a story that highlights or emphasizes, that underscores a deep spiritual truth. Because they were at this time near the city of Jerusalem, and these disciples thought the kingdom of God was going to appear immediately. In short, they assumed Christ was going to establish His kingdom as king right there, right then in Jerusalem. They were thinking about the millennial kingdom. But, and here is where this one verse has bearing on our discussion, the 1,000-year reign, the millennial reign of Christ on earth, does not come until after the tribulation. And the tribulation does not come until after the rapture of the church. And since the rapture has not yet taken place, still, at present, at this moment when we are together this day, then obviously the disciples' timeline here in Luke 19 was way, way off. The millennial reign of Christ did not appear immediately. And so Jesus tells them the parable to say, in effect, you will need to wait for my return when I will establish my kingdom. I promise. But while you wait, always be on alert for me to return and be ready, because when I come back, I will expect that you will have served me well in the meantime, between my going and my coming back. So that is what the message of this parable will be. And so let's proceed in Luke 19, picking up the reading at verse 12. This is Luke chapter 19 and verse 12. So Jesus said, a nobleman went to a distant country to receive a kingdom for himself and then return. And when he called 10 of his slaves and gave them 10 minas and said to them, do business with this until I come back. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we do not want this man to reign over us. Now, let's pause here again. In the parable, who do you think the nobleman represents? That is right. The nobleman represents Christ. The kingdom is his kingdom. And notice in verse 12, the nobleman is going away, but then he will return. The slaves and the citizens both are representative of the people under the nobleman's, under Christ's rule. So he calls 10 of the slaves together and gives them minas. This is a Greek measure of money, equivalent to more than 3 months' salary at that time. Not much. If you'll read the remainder of the parable on your own, you will find out the expectation of the nobleman when he returns is that these slaves would have used that money wisely. They will have used it to serve the nobleman while he is away. And this is a strong message to those of us who are Christians. But what I really want you to highlight is verse 14, which says the citizens hated the nobleman and sent that delegation to say, we do not want this man to reign over us. When you are able to, get that verse circled in your Bible. Jesus is saying to the Jews within his audience who despise Christ, you are also opposed to my reign and rule over your lives. You hate me, and you do not accept that I am your king. And isn't this just what we have today? This parable applies today. We cannot be too harsh on the Jews of Jesus' day. You and I live in a society where the majority of people do not want Jesus to reign, R-E-I-G-N, to rule over them. They hate Jesus. They really do. Millions of people have no use for the Lord. The truth is, Jesus Christ, the nobleman, has come. And when he was here, Christ demonstrated his love and compassion and mercy in the context of the perfect life he lived. The testimony of his first visit is found with clarity in the Bible, the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This is very much available to all people alive at this moment. And the mission of Christ in his first coming, one of grace that takes away the sins of those who accept him, is being proclaimed today on this broadcast out over these airwaves. Those of you listening online know the gospel of grace is being made available all over the global internet. As we talked about last week, God loves all people, and he demonstrates his love in the cross of Christ. Jesus died for the wretched and vile sin of anyone who will believe in him by faith. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And yet, people the world over hate Christ. They revile him. They reject him. And they do not want to hear what he has done for them, if only they'll humble themselves and accept his atonement for their sins. Does this describe you today in relation to Christ? Do you hate him? Do you not want him to reign over you? Christ the nobleman has come to deliver you and redeem you from your sin. He stands ready to forgive you completely if you will love and honor him by throwing yourself at his feet and seeking his mercy for you. I invite you to do this today, because if you will not, and for the people of the world who will not, then this same Christ who had a mission of grace to take away your sins in his first coming will come again with a mission of judgment and condemnation for those of you who reject him. Let's see that now by fast-forwarding in the parable. And the verses we will not look at due to time constraints, sure enough, the nobleman returns. He keeps his promise. And listen to what he says in the parable regarding his enemies. Listen to Luke 19, verse 27. But these enemies of mine, who did not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slay them in my presence. Wow. Christ's one sentence here stops us dead in our tracks. This verse is the kicker, and it's sobering. These enemies of mine are Jesus' enemies. And you are an enemy of Jesus unless you receive his grace for your sin and follow him as his willing slave, his disciple. When Christ returns, and he is coming, he will judge sin and condemn the unrepentant sinner to death. Jesus says so himself with these words in verse 27, those who did not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slay them in my presence. Strong words, even violent words. And when we read further along in the revelation of Jesus Christ, of the judgment of Jesus on sin, we find that action matches these words. It is indeed a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of holy God if you are an enemy of Christ. And again, I stress this because the Bible stresses this. You are an enemy of Jesus until you are saved from your sin by his grace. And so I ask again, are you an enemy? Or do you desire that Christ reign over you? Are you willing for him to be your nobleman? He has come in grace, and he is coming again in judgment. Are you ready for him? If you want to be sure that you're ready for him, why don't you reach out to me today? I want to discuss this further with you via email or letter, and I want more than anything for you to be ready to receive Christ, secure in his salvation from sin for you when he comes again. So write to me today, and then join me again tomorrow, for God is...